Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 9th day of September 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. We'll get an update on the condition of the crop across the Midwest from the statisticians in Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. We'll check in on what's been happening in the agricultural energy markets with Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services out of Chicago, Illinois, and hear all about the weather forecast. It's going to be raining. Don Day will tell us that. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And it all happens right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online, of course, at willag.org. Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Tuesday afternoon, the 9th day of September. Futures in the September contract at $3.36 and a quarter, down 3 cents. December at $3.44 and a quarter in the corn pit, down 4. And the March at $3.57 and a quarter, down 4 cents. May corn $3.65 and a half, 4 and a quarter lower. July futures at $3.72 and three quarters, down 4 cents. In September, down 4 as well. For next year at $3.80 and a quarter. December of next year, $3.89 and a half, down 4 cents. That would be for the 2015 corn crop. Soy complex now, bean futures, November contract at $9.92 and three quarters of a cent, down 15 and 3 quarters. Better catch the lead option September. It's at $10.76 and a half, down 14 and a quarter. January futures at $9.99 and a quarter, down 16 and a quarter. The March at $10 and a nickel, down 17 cents. May futures $10.11 and a quarter of a cent, down 16 and a half cents. In July at $10.17 and a half, down 15 and three quarters for the day. Next year's November, $10.06 and a quarter, down 14 cents. Bean meal futures on the afternoon are up 7.50 in the lead option September. October, however, down 70 cents. And the bean oil for the day, down 44 in the September at $31.59. Live cattle futures on the afternoon at $159.97 and a half cents, $1.45 higher in the October contract. Feeder cattle finished up at $1.85 higher, $229 the final price on the day. And the lead option September and the October lean hogs up $2.72 and a half cents at $105.80 per 100 pounds. Checking the outside markets at this hour and the energy segment, the crude oil for the day. $92.67 a barrel. That's up a penny on the afternoon in the October contract. Diesel fuel at $2.79, $0.18 and a half cents lower for the day. And gasoline, or the RBOB wholesale price at $2.54 9 tenths, is a penny and 2 tenths of a cent lower on the day. Natural gas trading at $3.98 and a tenth of a cent. That's a dime and a half higher, 10 and a half cents. And the ethanol futures at $1.93 and 4 tenths, 5 and 3 tenths of a cent higher on the afternoon. Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at about 17,030. That's down 70 for the afternoon. And the gold futures at $1,249, $4.25 lower. The dollar index at 84.28 is up 0.039. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Showers, some thunderstorms likely, mainly before 3 in the afternoon. Mostly cloudy otherwise. A high of 78 degrees in the area. A south wind today at 6 to 10 miles an hour, gusting to 15. Chance of rainfall for the day at 60%. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 1 a.m., mostly cloudy and 67. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms, a high of 80 degrees, breezy on a south wind at 16 to 20. Chance of precipitation tomorrow, 90%. And then tomorrow evening, more showers and thunderstorms, all before 1 in the evening central time, mostly cloudy and a low of 54 degrees. West-southwest winds 11 to 15 miles an hour on Thursday, mostly sunny skies and 66. Thursday night, cloudy and 48. And Friday, partly sunny and 65. A more complete look at the weather forecast at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
It's Tuesday, the 9th day of September. On the phone line with us here at the Closing Market Report to take a look at the marketplace and the upcoming WASDEAN crop production figures that are due out Thursday at 11 a.m. is Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
A rainy day there in your part of the world?
You know, it's rained all around Newmarket. We've got rain in Crawfordsville, rain over in Ladoga, but we've been pretty without rain here, but sort of a cloudy, overcast day, and most everybody was knocked out of the field with the little rains we had.
Yeah, those that were in the field, and this would be early, what did they find so far?
Well, the bean yields over here have been really good. They've been in the 60s to upper 60s as far as the beans we've harvested so far, and the corn, anywhere from 20 to 40 bushels over their best yield yet on their fields. Now, very, very small corn harvesting as of yet, but it has, you know, shown very good.
So I didn't realize you would have beans that would be coming out quite so soon. So you're coming along pretty quickly in your part of the world.
Well, there's a few of the farmers that planted some early varieties looking for this, premium to be here, tight stocks at the end of the year. I know one farmer that's, harvested somewhere between 30,000 and 40,000 bushels so far.
And they've been able to collect a premium, and I would think, at this point, because there isn't a whole lot of harvesting.
$4 a bushel.
How much?
$4 a bushel.
Wow. What percent are the beans coming off at? Are they how dry are they?
They were the last ones harvested got down to about 13.5.
Wow. Oh boy. So well, that's worth running the combine for. That's for darn sure. But I suspect all of that will go away pretty quickly because there's a big bean crop supposedly, and we'll know more about that coming on when WASDE releases the crop production report at 11 on Thursday morning, won't we?
Well, yeah, we're going to get their best estimates out there and with everything looking along the lines. But, as we look at the average estimates looking here, we're shooting towards 46 bushel pretty hard with the average guesstimates, Todd.
You think that that's possible?
I didn't think so earlier. I would have said that was pushing it. But hearing the last yields as we've seen around here for early and, 2.0 beans, I guess I have to say that there is a possibility of it all to happen.
Beans, it seems to me, certainly they're an August crop. They can get better in the month. Do you suppose that the corn crop has gotten better this month?
Oh, I think it has. I think that with the kind of weather that we saw this year was just about ideal. You know, as long as we can finish this crop out, the test weight, the ears looks much bigger. And I think that we can see a lot of 60, 61-pound corn this year. That's going to make a real difference as to how it produces.
That would make a huge difference. What kind of crop size are you thinking about then?
Well, I would have basically said the 168 was looking what I would have been at before earlier. But along with this test weight increase, I'm thinking this 170 is going to be, achievable. I'm not in the 175 or 174 camp or anything like that yet, but I'm thinking 170 is a possibility. Now, will the USDA come up to 170 this Thursday? They may or may not.
Well, they may or may not, and I suppose it all comes down to what their ending stocks figure shows. And right now it's 1.8 billion. How much bigger will it get?
Well, I think probably psychologically, if it hits that 2 mark, that 2 billion bushel carryover is where we really sort of stay in the doldrums, Todd. But, we're getting down near to some levels that, I don't know how much lower can we go and how much good is good and how big is it is. A lot of them are throwing out 310 to 330 as their low-end range and $9 to 920 in the November beans for their low-end range. And, somewhere along the line, it's the job of the market to find demand for the extra price and generally through lower price that way. And, we have to see something show up here soon or else I don't know how low is low.
Let me give you a scenario, and you tell me what I should do as a producer. I'm going to harvest the corn, and I'm going to take it across the scale because I have to put it in the elevator. Am I going to sell it and buy it back, or am I going to sell it and store it there and pay for it?
Well, I think that along the way, at this point in time, it's, we can't pay commercial storage and pay for the storage for the bases increase right now. We like to think, there would be some chances down the road for a little bit of an increase. But if it's going across the scale, I guess I am going to be more inclined to sell the corn and, replace it with some options.
That's kind of what I was wondering about and thinking that might be the case. Any other options or thoughts that you have on the marketplace that farmers should be considering before we get to this crop production and WASD figure day on Thursday this week?
I think that, anybody that has a chance to take advantage of these early premiums should take advantage of it and just sell that and let it go and be gone, done with it. But if you're out there and you don't have anything like that, I think you have to look at selling some carry out here and at least collecting the differential for storage before it goes away.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, joins us here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can hear him again on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. And while you're there, you'll find all of our upcoming events. And they're over in the Outlook Meetings section. It's just a link on the right-hand side of the page, including tomorrow night, that's Wednesday evening, in Tutopolis at 6 o'clock. And then on Thursday in Mount Vernon, again, 6:15 there. That one at the Farm Credit Office, Tutopolis, will be at the Knights of Columbus. I'll have along with me, I think both nights, Gary Schnitke. We'll talk about the ARC and PLC decision. And then each night I'll have a series of analysts with me too. You can check those times and dates out. If you'd like to schedule a meeting, just give us a call at the radio station. We'll get you set up and get one of those meetings covered for you. I know you're starting in on the harvest season. We'll talk more about that ARC and PLC decision. Let me put your mind a bit at ease at this point, is that there's not a lot that you have to do. The one item that you may be thinking you need to deal with, and we'll go through this real quickly, is that if you are a landowner or if you're the farmer and a landowner, you will have received from the FSA probably a month or a month and a half ago a letter outlining some of the numbers in particular for your allotments for base acres. Here's the thing that you need to do with this. It's just cleaning up data. It's not about the sign-up process. It's about cleaning up data before the sign-up process. Look at those numbers. If they look correct, if those numbers look correct, don't call the FSA at all. Don't worry about it. You don't have to do anything. But if they're not correct, you need to call the FSA right away and get that data cleaned up before we actually get into the ARC and PLC and farm program decision. So that one should put your mind at ease about that piece of paperwork, that letter that you got in the mail. But otherwise, there will be more coming on the ARC and PLC decision later. I will tell you that it will maybe start later this year, but it won't close until sometime in 2015. You can learn more at the Farm Credit Office in Mount Vernon on Thursday night, or the Knights of Columbus office, Knights of Columbus building in Tutopolis tomorrow evening.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Each and every Tuesday afternoon, we report to you the USDA NAS crop progress numbers as they're released from Monday afternoon. This report, as of the 8th day of September, shows that 95% of the corn crop around the nation has entered the dough stage. The rolling five-year average, 94%, 69% has now dented, 74% the rolling five-year average. 15% of the corn crop has matured. That compares to 26%, so it's running behind average. And then, as you look at the condition of the crop this week, the same as last week, 52% good and 22% excellent. 12% of the soybeans are dropping leaves this week. The rolling five-year average is 17% from the 18 reporting states nationwide. 53% of the crop is said to be in good condition, 19% in excellent condition. The previous week, those numbers were 54% and 18% respectively. Now, here's an update of the state conditions from Minnesota and Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa field office, with the weekly crops and weather report. Iowa experienced extreme temperatures this week, with a high of 94 degrees at Donaldson and Glenwood on Thursday and a low of 40 degrees at Sheldon on Saturday. Temperatures for the week averaged 1.3 degrees above normal. Thunderstorms with high winds and some hail occurred across the west central Iowa, from Sunday the 31st to Monday the 1st. Light rain fell across the northern half of the state Monday to Tuesday, and again on Thursday and Friday across much of Iowa. Total rain for the week varied from 0.06 inches at Rock Rapids to 6.37 inches in west central Crawford County. Average precipitation for the week was 1.35 inches, about half an inch more than normal. Almost all of Iowa's corn crop was in doe stage or beyond, and 72% had reached the dense stage, 1 week ahead of 2013, but 3 days behind the five-year average. 6% of the corn acreage was mature, slightly ahead of last year, but almost 2 weeks behind normal. Unchanged from last week, 76% of the corn acreage was reported in good to excellent condition, with almost the entire soybean crop setting pods or beyond 26% of soybean leaves returning color, 5 days ahead of previous year, but 4 days behind the average. 73% of soybean acreage was in good to excellent condition, equal to the previous week. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Illinois was warm and wet again last week. Above average temperatures continued across the state. Overall, the state averaged 1.7 degrees above normal for the week, and all areas were above normal temps. Precipitation was above the norm also last week. The average rainfall for all districts was above their average for this week, and the overall state average was 1.25 inches, 0.67 inches above normal. Corn harvest has started in southern areas of the state. The overall state average is only 1% harvested compared to 6% for the five-year average. 17% of the crop is mature compared to 5% 1 year ago and 36% normally. 84% of corn acres have reached the dense stage or beyond compared to 78% normally. The condition of the crop was rated as 4% of acres are in very poor or poor condition, 14% fair, and 82% are in good or excellent condition. Soybeans are now beginning to mature as well. 7% of acres are now dropping leaves compared to 3% 1 year ago and 11% for the five-year average. 37% of acres are turning color or beyond compared to 16% last year and 34% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop was reported as 4% of acres are in very poor or poor condition, 18% fair, and 78% are in good or excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Northwest Minnesota farmers took advantage of drier weather conditions to advance the small grain harvest. Increasing moisture levels did improve pasture and row crop conditions for many Minnesota crops, but farmers would like to see warmer conditions to advance row crop development. 94% of the corn crop was at or beyond the doe stage, that's slightly ahead of last year and the five-year average. With 72% of the crop in good to excellent condition, 61% of the corn crop was at or beyond the dense stage. With nearly all the soybean crops setting pods, 26% is turning color, that's 5 days behind average. Soybean conditions increased slightly and now stand at 69% good to excellent. Spring wheat harvest at 54% complete remains over 2 weeks behind the five-year average. 57% of the spring wheat crop was in good to excellent condition. 90% of the oat crop is now harvested, more than a week behind last year and the five-year average. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending September 7, 2014. Warmer temperatures and above average rainfall helped bring harvest closer and kept farmers busy this week. Average temperatures ranged from 71 to 77 degrees and from 3 degrees to 8 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.43 to 2.68 inches, with a statewide average of 1.23 inches. Corn is beginning to dry down with 74% in good to excellent condition, exceeding last year's crop by 12%. Corn doeing was 95% this week versus 90% last week and 95% five-year average. Corn denting was 65% this week compared to 51% last week and 71% five-year average. Matured corn was 15% this week versus 8% last week and 24% five-year average. Farmers have continued harvesting corn silage and seed corn. Soybeans are beginning to turn color and exhibit similar conditions at 70% good to excellent this year versus 56% last year. However, Some farmers remained concerned about disease and rot in the fields after the last few weeks' cool and rainy weather. Soybeans dropping leaves was 18% this week, compared to 10% last week and 23% five-year average. Tomato and potato harvest continued this week. Hay cutting continues to be slow in wetter areas of the state, and other activities for the week included cleaning bins, hauling grain, preparing equipment for harvest, and roadside mowing. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
Our thanks go to the statisticians in Indiana, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota for their weekly updates of crop progress in their regions. You can find us online at willag.org, that's willag.org. Now, just a little bit about what's coming up yet this week. I'll be on the road. If you have not been out to one of our Farm Credit Illinois sponsored events, we have two more this week still, one in Mount Vernon and another in Tutopolis, tomorrow night, in fact, in Tutopolis, both at about 6 o'clock. The Mount Vernon event is at the Farm Credit Office. The Tutopolis event is at the KC's, that's the Knights of Columbus there in Tutopolis. They both include a meal. Contact the local Farm Credit Office and make sure they know you're going to come, because each night we'll talk about the ARC and PLC decision, what's happening with the farm program, and I'll have a slate of analysts with us to talk about the marketplace. Those are just a couple of things that are coming up. One other item, if you'd like to schedule one of our Outlook panels, please do give me a call. My phone number, 217-333-9697, or just call WILL and they'll forward you to me so that we can talk about what the possibilities are. It's all possible. Service here at willag.org. Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On the phone line with us to take a look at the agricultural energy markets is Stephen Platt. He's at Archer Financial Services in Chicago. They're located at the Board of Trade building. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for being with us. Let's talk about crude oil. The price has, well, it's just come down. What do you think about that?
Well, I think there's been a lot of justification. We've been pretty much talking some of the bearish cases. I guess I've been somewhat surprised that it wasn't quicker, but we have seen the market finally break and get down to this low 90 area, and the question emerges on whether we have a lot more additional to break. I still think the downside pressure is going to be pretty intense. We still have supply side coming on pretty strong in the coming year, and at the same time, the demand side has been rather weak and looks actually could be somewhat weaker than most people expected maybe a few months ago. And I think that's been reflected in the break in crude prices, which have fallen by over 11%. The gasoline price has come down about 10%. Now, one thing that's been kind of a little bit stronger than the rest has been the diesel price and distillate price. That's been holding up pretty well, only really fell 4% since early July time period. So those are certainly situations that you have to be watching and look at maybe doing some coverage here as we move into the harvest, possibly of your diesel needs.
All right. Hey, thanks so much, Stephen. I appreciate you being with us.
Sure. My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Steve Platt back in 2 minutes.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
This is Illinois Public Media.
On this day in agricultural history in 1754, William Bligh was born. He became captain of the English ship Bounty, and while sailing to Tahiti to bring back breadfruit trees, the most famous mutiny in history took place. In 1843, a patent was issued for a new hand-cranked ice cream freezer. Nancy Johnson's design added a vertical shaft with curved paddles, reaching nearly to the inside walls. The design quickened the freezing process. In 1890, Harland Sanders was born near Henryville, Indiana. He was, of course, better known as Colonel Sanders, founder of the Kentucky Fried Chicken fast food restaurant chain. In 1917, Edward Johnson died, an American electrical engineer and inventor. He once served as vice president of Thomas Edison's Edison Electric Light Company, but he may be best known for creating the first electric lights on a Christmas tree. And in 1995, Orville Redenbacher died. Born on a farm in Brazil, Indiana, he began growing his own popping corn at age 12, and after earning a Bachelor of Sciences degree in agriculture from Purdue University, he developed the popcorn hybrid that made him famous. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Tuesday afternoon. Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us to talk about the forecast. Don, a line of storms has passed over at least once today, earlier in this morning, and it was a pretty heavy rainfall, and it looked like it stretched a good part across north central and central Illinois. What kind of rainfall can we expect in the near future, and what kind of temperatures?
Well, yeah, we've got a lot going on with the weather right now. First, let's talk about the rain. There's going to be another area of rain developing tonight and into Wednesday across the Dakotas, Nebraska. It's going to go across Iowa, Minnesota, then move into central and northwest areas of Iowa before heading up into Michigan. And there's going to be some significant rains along the path that could be half inch, inch and a half or more in a few areas, with some heavy rains and showers and thunderstorms fueled a little bit by a lot of that subtropical moisture coming out of the desert southwest that brought those big rains to Phoenix yesterday. Then behind this, boy, here is the first real shot of cold of the season. We are looking at temperatures that will have no problem going below freezing over western areas of North Dakota, South Dakota, western Nebraska, eastern Wyoming, some areas of far northeast Colorado could be in the lower 30s by Friday morning.
Oh, well, will we get down far enough for long enough that we will do damage to the crop, or is it just going to hinder the crop?
I think it's going to be more of a hindrance. Now, I am expecting that there will be some season-ending temperatures in those far western areas. However, I think for the key areas, we'll probably escape those temperatures that will be below freezing long enough to do severe damage, but certainly things are going to slow down, and with many areas behind still on crop development, this is something that we hope we do see a rebound, and we will, but we also see other cold possibilities coming in later this month.
Yeah, so tell me about those and next week, if you would, please.
Well, what we're going to see is the pattern go through a warm-up this weekend and into next week with another frontal passage and another push of colder air that will probably move in right around the 19th, 20th or so of the month, and we'll have to see if that penetration is as far south. But we see a pattern that's going to be cyclical and will likely repeat itself with another cold surge towards that 20th of the month and then right around that first week of October.
Cold surges are one thing that can be really damaging. Rainfall, on the other hand, will keep producers out of the field, even if there isn't damage done, and they wouldn't like that. Will the cold surges come with rainfall?
I think they will. Now, whether or not it's going to be as heavy as what we're seeing right now, probably not. We've just got a lot of subtropical influence with what we've had here lately. Although I'll tell you that we are expecting possibly another tropical system moving up the west coast of Mexico in about a week's time, and some of that moisture could work in the United States again based on the trends that we're seeing. So we've got some challenging and hard to predict weather coming up here over the next 5 or 6 weeks. It's going to keep us guessing as well as producers.
We'll talk with you again next week and see if the guesses get better. Hey, thanks so much, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.